from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you traded Brandon, you see a scenario where you're better because of that?
I mean, Brandon's a great player, so it's real hard to be better when you lose a great player. So we got to look into anything. We got to understand the situation we're in, what that looks like, and that does take time. So hopefully it'll all work out best for him and best for us in the long run.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I'll give you this, Dan Dibley.
Yeah.
If you translate what I'm hearing a lot of the guys say today, it feels like they're almost fighting the urge to talk about the Brandon Ayuk era in the past tense.
Yeah.
Christian slipped and went ahead and did it anyway.
That's not part of my job. It's not part of my position, I think. Obviously, as a former teammate or, you know, teammate of his in general, any teammate that you have, you love, you respect them, you want the best for them.
And Kyle Shanahan, as you just heard, is talking about it. I hope it works out the best for him, and then it works out the best for us. Well, when you separate those two things, that to me signals that you're doing two different things. You're going that way, I'm going this way. Hope it works out for everybody. It does not feel like people are thinking that this is going to be a together thing for much longer.
It doesn't sound like it from the people that we're hearing from. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan saying, I hope that it works out for him. And, you know, basically in New England or in Washington or in Pittsburgh or in Cleveland or wherever it is. And I hope it works out for us that, you know, we get a receiver back or the receivers that we have can step up and whatever players we get back are going to be good enough to help us still win. But it does feel like we're closer to the end than we are to the middle.
And here's the other thing. I've now sort of even just today arrived at the opinion that this could happen really quickly because of what it feels like is motivating it. I'll say again, the Niners don't have to do this. He's under contract. They can just say, Brandon, you go play. You're under contract. They can do that. But now they're annoyed to the point where they feel like the distraction is a larger problem than the idea of Brandon trying to play week one. And if that's what's driving this, if like Kyle's annoyed, and that's probably too soft of a term, if he's bleeping you know what, like he's ticked and he's carrying that around with him, then he wants to get Brandon the hell out of the facility as quickly as possible.
Of course. And he was asked about it and asked if he needs it to be resolved soon. And he said, no, you always want it to be badly, but this stuff does take time. And every day I hope it gets resolved, but I have no timetable on it. Every day I hope it gets resolved, but he has no timetable on it. So I do think that he's much more angry than just annoyed. And if you're Kyle Shanahan, you want to set about working on, you know, football, game plans, and who's going to be my wide receiver one, and all the rest of that stuff that is more important to you than, you know, Brandon Ayuk, and what's the trade going to be, and he's holding in, it's day 11, and all the rest of that nonsense.
Here is what Kyle Shanahan said, because we were asking the question, if that starting receiver opposite Debo is not Brandon, then who? and you can have some say in this. I'm not saying actually how it plays out, but like you can play fantasy for a second. Is it Amari Cooper, Kendrick Bourne, Terry McLaurin, Devontae Adams, Ricky Pearsall, Chris Conley, Trent Taylor, Jerry Rice? You stick whoever you want in there. But who's that person? Dibs, you said Pearsall. I'll sort of say Pearsall second half of the season. I wonder if it needs to be sort of a piecemeal thing, though, for a little while, which isn't great. That's not great, but I do bet if you look at the way the 49ers have played in recent years, they don't freak out if they start the year 3-3. You know what I mean?
True.
And so I think that they realize we do have enough to probably win more than we lose for the first 6 or 7 games of the season. And then you sort of assess where the Pearsall thing is. Do you need to make a deadline acquisition of a wide receiver or what have you? Like, there's ways that it can all play out. But this is what Kyle said when he was asked how he feels about the remaining players in his wide receiver room.
I love the guys that we have in the building. I love the vets that we've had here that have played at a high level. I love the new ones we brought in for competition, and I love the young guys. You know, they have been banged up, trying to get healthy, you know, battling a shoulder, battling a hamstring. But when they're out there, they're getting better, and I hope that they can get healthy, continue to stay healthy so they can get the time in that they need to be ready. I know they will be if they get that time in, but that's the risky and hard thing about football. Football is a tough thing to practice, tough thing to get prepared for, and you got to do that at a very high level, and you hope they have no setbacks as they go along, and if they don't, I feel very good about the guys because they got what it takes.
Okay, I don't know to what level you buy that at face value. Obviously, Kyle's going to say, I love all my guys. I love all my guys. The comment at the very end is the one that matters, where he said, I feel very comfortable. I feel very comfortable, in other words, playing football games with the wide receivers we have. Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I know I love Juwan Jennings too, but that's a different kind of player. Who is stretching the field for this team?
Yeah.
If there's no Brandon. Who's stretching the field?
Yeah, a reliable receiver other than a guy who's just going to run 2 or 3 go routes.
That's not because, what Debo and Juwan do.
No, and it's really not what you do as an offense. You don't see Brandon Ayuk run a lot of 9 routes, just a lot of straight goes, but he can get deep down the field. He can run deep down the middle. He can run the post route. And the thing about the Shanahan offense is you don't want to telegraph it. So you could put one of your speedsters in there, Danny Gray, Ronnie Bell. Well, when they're on the field, you have a pretty good idea as a defense that they're going to do one of two things. It's either they're a decoy or they're going deep. They're probably not going to be involved in the run game. They're probably not going to block for you. And that's where the Shanahan offense is so successful with Brandon Ayuk, because when he's on the field, you got the two receivers on the field. You don't know what's coming. It could be Debo on a jet sweep. It could be Brandon in a pass route. It could be neither of them, both of them blocking and doing it very well. It could be both of them going short and George Kittle's going deep down the middle. So that's where your question becomes the most interesting to me, is who can replace Brandon Ayuk in the way that they need him replaced? A blocker, able to run all the routes, run good routes, and be productive in all facets of your offense.
Yeah, this is one of those things, too, where I feel like, and I don't think that this is possible. I think Brandon's a phenomenal player, and I think that his game would travel and all of those things. But, like, this is all from the same tree as Brady versus Belichick. Remember when the whole, who's driving the bus? Is it Brady or is it Belichick? And Brady probably won that argument in the end.
Yeah, looks like it.
By going somewhere else and winning again. But it's just like the Brock Purdy conversation. Is Brock amazing or is he a product of Kyle? And we've all sort of settled with like, it's something in between. But I wonder, what are the chances Brandon Ayuk plays somewhere else? He goes to the Patriots. He becomes a 750-yard receiver. And the Niner offense goes out knowing that they have to game plan for this. Like, in other words, we're prepared for it. It's not like Brandon went out and got hurt in the middle of a game. He's like, no, I've got 4 weeks now to get, like, Chris Conley ready, who made a huge catch against Green Bay, by the way.
Yep.
Don't forget.
Yep.
And I can game plan for that. What are the chances the Niner offense goes out and looks exactly the same?
Not great.
I don't think they're great, but I don't think it's off the table. Put it this way. I like the Niners' chances to still look like a good offense a lot more than I like Brandon's chances to put up 1,300 yards with somebody else.
That's an interesting way to put it, and I would lean your way just based on Shanahan. It comes down to Shanahan versus Ayuk. So Ayuk can go to any of the four destinations that are rumored, and what's the likelihood of him being a second-team All-Pro, 1,300 yards and 8 touchdowns versus... The Niners still have a good offense that tends to get 30 points a night.
30 points a game, yeah.
30 points a game, Shanahan laminated play sheet with Conley, Pearsall, Cowing, Bell, Taylor, Jennings.
Well, I'm keeping all them dudes. Well,
no, but I'm just saying, pick whoever you want right, to be that dude. I think it's more likely that the Niners' offense still hums, but I don't like the chances of either one.
What did the Niners end up averaging 30? I was just curious because you said that.
They had the three straight duds where they got 17 a game.
Okay. 491 points, which was only second to the Cowboys. 491 and, divided by 17, 28.8.
Yeah, okay.
28.8. And I don't really, you know, don't hang the 17th game around them because they didn't play anybody. They
true.
Didn't use any of their players.
Even if you took that one out.
Well,
then
that was, what did they score in that one? I feel like they only scored like 17 points in that one.
Something like that.
Against the Rams.
Low scoring affair.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, anyway.
The problem with that is just, so let's just say it's whoever receiver and Debo. Well, now defensively, you're going to just try to take Debo away. And also you got Christian McCaffrey, who's got a calf issue. And Trent Williams is not in camp yet.
Well, but let's play out like that's not the case. Like Trent gets taken care of and Christian is actually healthy in actual regular season games. And you've had 4 weeks to be like, Juwan's still going to play the third down role. And that wide receiver, too, it might be Ricky Pearsall if he's healthy and ready right away. It might be Chris Conley for some games, or it might be a revolving door of Kyle Shanahan's play calls where Ronnie Bell or Jacob Cowing or other people are in there and they still have that elite pre-snap movement and Kittle down the middle and all of the things that the defense still has to think about. You know, it's not like the offense suddenly just sucks if he's not in it.
No, it doesn't come to a screeching halt, but it's not nearly as good.
Agreed.
Because if you're a defensive coordinator, you're going to say, all right, Ricky Pearsall, the rookie, we're going to have you go ahead and beat us. We're not going to worry about doubling you. We're going to shift our coverage over to Debo, and we're going to take George Kittle away, and then we're going to see what we can do about Christian McCaffrey when he comes out of the backfield, and go ahead and beat us, Ricky the rookie. We're going to have you really, you know, show us before we have to shift our coverage your way.
Tim Kawakami was on with Bonte and Joe this morning. Had some very pointed comments about all of this. Let's let you hear it. He basically said the Niners are misplaying this.
I think the 49ers have misplayed this. There is a 49er need, and we're seeing it every year to try to win every negotiation. This is what they do. I think it's helped them try to keep some of this salary cap under control. We know how many big contracts they have, but it's under control. I think it's kind of, you know, building up with some kind of amount of unhappiness with their star players. We've heard about it kind of under the radar. I think it's just playing out with Ayuk. They're trying to beat Ayuk in this. I think the Bosa negotiation last year might be affecting this. They got beat by Bosa. The 49ers do not, Farag Marate and Jay York do not normally get beat like they got beat by Nick Bosa. And Ayuk is not Nick Bosa. I understand that, but I think that there's just some recriminations from that, and they want to beat Brandon Ayuk, and they're determined not to let get this to September. Like, they let the Bosa thing go, and they're trying to push the issue, and they might win.
Well, what does that mean? They might win. Because I made the comment earlier, and I'd love to bring it back because it gets sent out on social media, and I think there's some misunderstanding about what I was saying, which is that if the 49ers trade Brandon Ayuk now, it is a failure, no matter what they get back in return. And a lot of people are translating that to say, oh, well, so you just think they should just give Brandon whatever he wants? No, I don't think that at all. My point about this is the calendar. If you trade Brandon Ayuk less than five weeks before you have a game, that means that what you planned out, the way you played this, failed. Because there's no chance that this was the best way
exactly
to handle the situation. And there's no way that any trade makes you better right now. With a game in 34 days, there's nothing you can get in return. Amari Cooper or more. There's nothing you can get in return that is going to fit better than Brandon Ayuk as the wide receiver opposite Deebo Samuel. Therefore, in a huge year, you've weakened yourself.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And I do think that Tim's right about, you know, them wanting to win the deal, and they haven't been able to win the deal because, you know, the two sides are pretty far apart. And so now you get to a spot where maybe winning the deal is no longer possible. And so the best thing you can do is to try to salvage the deal, which is to trade Brandon Ayuk and get something back that's going to help you this year and maybe a draft asset for next year, both things. But you're right, and Kyle Shanahan even said it, like when you trade a really good player away, theoretically, it's hard to look at your team and think that you got better by doing that. So that's the scenario they're faced with, 34 days to go.
Yeah, here's Tim Kaye's comment on that. Any trade, is there any way for it to be successful at this point?
There's a possibility that they win this. They get you can come in at their number or relative their number, or they make a successful trade. I think any trade they make now, if they make it for Ayuk, will be an unsuccessful trade. I think it's a give-up trade. You don't see good teams doing this. Like, what good teams trade a good player in August? That doesn't happen. You trade them at the draft. So you get the pick, you draft the player, you have the player. If they make a trade, you know, I mean, Kendrick Bourne, I like him at all, but please. I mean,
yeah, I know.
You know, and a second round pick, like, that's how you're going to go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, see, now that I totally agree with. When people say, hey, you know, the Niners, Brandon, whichever side you take, you do not do this in August.
If you're a really good team.
If you do this in August, you misplayed it. And I'm not saying that I don't understand it. Like, you thought Brandon would zig and he zagged. And so now you're mad and you're gonna try to make it right with whatever you've got available left to do, but you clearly thought this was going to play out differently. If you didn't, and you thought this was a possibility, my man, you'd have made this trade in April.
Of course.
No question.
And you tried to make the trade in April. You at least explored the trade in April, and you didn't get back what you thought you wanted to get back, and so you didn't make the trade in April. And there was rumors that New England was going to give up their high second-round pick for Brandon Ayuk, and you didn't think that that was what you wanted to do, so you held on to Brandon, and here you are 3.5 months later, and you thought at that time, well, we don't need to trade him because this deal is going to get done. He'll either come to his senses or we'll find a middle ground and we'll get the deal done. And, well, it didn't work out that way. And now here you are in early August, and it doesn't feel like anything around a deal is anywhere close to happening. Like, the idea of Ja'Marr Chase, you mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
He's holding in. The sense is that they're working on it and that something will get done. All the reports that I've read, it doesn't feel like this. This feels like he's holding in and there's no conversation, let alone momentum toward a deal getting done. So if you're in that spot and Brandon Ayuk is dug in and you're dug in because you don't want to lose the deal like you did last year with Nick Bosa, well, then you may not have another choice other than to trade him and salvage something out of this.
Yeah, the Ja'Marr thing is also interesting because he's going into year four. He's not going into year five. He's going into year four. The club option has not even been exercised yet as a first-round draft pick, so you're probably looking at a different sort of a rework for them than what Brandon's asking, and maybe that's why there's so much less smoke around the situation. I'm not sure. Let's go to Skills in Vallejo here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Skills, what are you doing?
What's up, Willard? What's up, Dibs? I just opened up a brand new pack of football cards, and I'm disgusted because there's 32 cards, not a single 49er in there.
Man, that's rough.
Tough break. I thought you were going to say you got a Brandon Ayuk, and I was going to ask you what jersey he was wearing.
Tough break. I'd love to have a Brandon Ayuk. Believe me, I would. And at this point, I just wanted to be, you know, because this is just dragging on too long, guys. But I understand every side involved. The thing is, I'm mad at every side involved because everyone's doing what they got to do in order to get Brandon paid. And look, I'm mad at Brandon because of the timing of the whole thing, because you got camp open, 52 guys pulling one, well, 51 maybe if you count Trent Williams, but basically that many guys pulling one way. Then here's a guy pulling for his money when we're trying to win a Super Bowl. Yet at the same time, I get why he's doing it because, well, he wants to get broke off. Can't blame him for that. I'm at the 49ers playing this dragon off for so long, just simply not breaking Brandon off, not saying what they're going to do one way or the other, even though I understand why they're not, because if they just say they're going to get rid of him, they get no value back. So it's the whole situation. I'm mad at all the other guys in the league who have similar numbers to Ayuk, yet at the same time can't replace him. They couldn't replace him because of what he does. Yards after the catch, blocking, all that stuff. He's one of our guys. Got to the Super Bowl in large part because of him. So the whole situation, basically, I say all that to say this. I want it all to be over soon. I want what's best for everyone. Of course, ideally, Brandon is on the 49ers this season. There's no distraction. And we can get back to the Super Bowl and win it this time. I guess just got to wait and see. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Right on, Skills.
Skills, I tell you what, my optimism or the thought of the chances of that being a reality, boy, they are diminishing very, very quickly. And I was just sitting around yesterday, and I don't even remember who posted this, but all of a sudden, they like the fourth quarter of the Niners-Packers playoff game was posted. And just sort of those moments that felt like, well, it's over. Not only like have they been losing the whole game, but you remember when the Packers were up 21-17 and they got the ball deep in their own zone and Aaron Jones broke loose.
Yes, immediately.
Broke loose. And as he's running down the field, flipped the field into 49er territory with about 9 minutes to go, you're sitting there thinking, this is it. We're going to lose. And then the Packers just kind of bebop their way, a few more first downs, and settle for a 41-yard field goal attempt that their guy Carlson just gacked it and hooked it left. And next thing you know, you're down by four, and you've got the ball with decent field position, and Brock Purdy starts going, think, how about you? How yep. about you? Chris Conley, George Kittle. And then there's that third and five just over midfield where he throws to Ayuk in a window that didn't even exist. I don't know how the hell Brock fitted in there, and I don't know how the hell Brandon caught it. And it was a first down, and it was a huge first down, and I don't know what would have happened in that game without that first down. And it's plays like that. It's highlights like that where I go, oh, this kind of hurts. This kind of hurts. This man owned a lot of huge plays for the 49ers this year, especially in games like that when Debo was out. It was his play against Cleveland that flipped the field, that set up Jake Moody to win the game that he didn't win. You know, that's another thing you worry about. We sit here and talk about who's opposite Debo. What happens if and when Debo gets hurt again?
Yeah.
Now what's your wide receiver room look like?
Couple of rookies. You're Green Bay with Pearsall and Cowing. You go with the young guys. And I do think that that's going to be the future of this team. So hopefully they drafted accurately, because when you pay Brock $55 or $60 million a year, tough to have a wide receiver making 30 and a edge rusher making 35 and your tackle wants 27 and your middle linebacker is worth 24 and McCaffrey's making 16 and, you know, Kittle's making 20. So at some point, this has got to give. Something's got to give. But in the meantime, you didn't expect the breakup of the greatness to come about this way. And it feels like this is where we're headed. It might be today. It could be later this week. And heck, maybe all these sides come to their senses and they realize, you know what, let's just give Brandon 27 and let's give him 27 for 1 year and let's all agree to do this next year. Let's figure out a way to make this work. We're in a Super Bowl window. It doesn't feel like we're heading that way, but when we talked about the breakup of this group of Niners, I didn't think that this is going to be the first domino to fall with a player and a team unable to come to terms on a contract. And so they feel like they get to a spot where they have to trade him. I didn't see this one coming.
If it goes that way. I'm with you. But there's also a piece of me that's like, okay, hold on. Now, why is this taking so long? If the Niners have decided we're sick of this, let's get it over with. You've agreed to two deals. How long does it take? I mean, again, I watched Hard Knocks. It doesn't take long. It's actually stunning the way these guys all talk to each other.
Quick phone call.
Now, I know there's edits involved in the making of these shows, but these phone calls are like, yeah, we got $10 million for this guy. And the assistant GM will come in and say, eh, it's going to take 11 to get it done. And be like, check start. Yeah, go ahead. Do 11. All right, come back. Come back 2 minutes later. Yep, deal's done. All right, we got him. Cool. Like, the trade for Brian Burns.
Yeah.
They went back and forth for months and months, but the last call, like, I don't know. They didn't even get it. It wasn't a minute long. It was 37 seconds. You good? We'd like an extra seven. I don't have an extra seven for you. All right. Okay, good. It's done. Like, you know what Brandon's asking for. If he wants to go to Cleveland and there's a deal, what is taking so long?
You've got two teams right now that maybe have competing offers for maybe. Brandon Ayuk.
Okay, so which one do you want?
Well, let's see. Let's see if we can get Cleveland up to 28.25. New England's at 28.15. Let's see if we can get them up to 28.5, 28.7.
But this doesn't take that long.
Well, it does.
Cleveland, you want to do 28.5? No. Okay.
Brandon, what do you really want?
What do you want to do?
I want to go to Pittsburgh.
That's not on the table, Brandon.
Wow.
All right, we're sponsored by Express Employment Professionals. Those of you who want to weigh in on Brandon, stay right where you are. We're not going far from Brandon Ayuk, but we do want to get a Markkanen and Warrior future update with Slates. So Anthony Slater, the Athletic, or Warrior Insider, is going to hop in here coming up next. We'll get that update and then get back to your Ayuk phone calls on Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Dub Nation, this is Brandon Pajemski, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, that's Brandon Poughkeepsie Kid, and he's still a dub.
Poughkeepsie Kid.
Yeah, he's still a dub. He plays for the Warriors.
I didn't mean to laugh at your reintro, but I'm looking at the YouTube feed, and we've got Director of Sports Lucas Alexander mounting fatheads on the wall.
Ooh, get a fathead!
And as he tapes them, and then as he tapes them, and you're going to see on the YouTube feed, he is vigorously going to be rubbing Bonte Hill's face.
Yeah. Oh, and then he paused.
Pause.
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 I want to know why each show has one fat head that's fatter than the other head. Have you noticed that?
Your head's giant.
My head, Guru's head, and Bonte's head, and this actually is true to real form in life, are way bigger heads, and I mean that in multiple ways.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, Chasky's got the best looking one. Just go to the YouTube feed or the Twitch, and you can see it once Director of Sports eventually mounts them. There's Chasky.
Why is Guru blurry?
I don't know.
That's funny. Anyway, Anthony Slater doesn't want to sit here and listen to this.
Sorry, Slates.
Yeah, let's get to him. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And let's go to Slates. Anthony Slater, The Athletic. It's August 6th, so he has come on to announce the Warriors' Lauri Markkanen trade. Please, Anthony, give us the details.
There will not be one for at least, what, now a calendar year almost.
Or 5 years or whatever, yeah. Yeah, you know, your comments earlier were interesting. So this hasn't even been a real thing for a while, I guess, huh?
No. I would say there was two chances for the Warriors to potentially get Lauri Markkanen. It was, you know, early July when I'd say, you know, the Jazz kind of opened the phone lines for anyone that wanted to just blow them away. You know, the Kings were in on it before they pivoted to DeMar DeRozan. There were some reports about the Spurs. And then obviously the Warriors were the most serious of them. And now, I mean, I would say now that we can take a month away from it and look back, I think your chance at the start of July to potentially get Lauri Markkanen was to just blow Utah away. Take everything. Take all the young guys. Take all the picks. What else do you want? And then the second potential chance that you thought was if, like, the Jazz or Lauri Markkanen decided the extension didn't make sense. And August 6th, as you mentioned, August 7th, you know, for Lauri Markkanen purposes, was always going to be the date that they had to either commit to each other. And if they didn't commit to each other, it would have been a major signal to the rest of the league that either Lauri Markkanen was hesitant about being there, being through this difficult rebuild, or that Utah, you know, might want to trade him and not commit long term and basically give him a no trade clause for a year. So if that had happened, then I think the asking price would have had to be lowered because the leverage from Utah side would have been way lowered. But what happened. Lauri Markkanen decided he wants to take a lot more money than anybody else could have given him because he can use Utah's current cap space to get a huge raise next season and then extend off that. And Utah decided to give him this major deal. And that kind of puts all the rumors to rest.
Would the inclusion of Brandon Pajemski made a difference, in your opinion, in this deal? Because I know the Warriors were reportedly reluctant or refusing even to put Pods in the deal.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like, I can't sit here and say that was the breaking point. They were sitting there on one Wednesday in mid-July, and it was like, if he's in it, it's the trade is made. If he's not, it's not. But if it had gotten into deeper talks, that was going to be a tension point in theoretical talks. The Warriors never wanted him on the table. Again, we reported it today, but the Warriors have denied several trades league-wide that offers for Brandon Pajemski. But again, it did not get to the point that, you know, they were just, you know, it was at the 1 yard line and one piece was going to swing the move.
Anthony Slater, The Athletic, with us. So what's next and what is the likelihood that the roster we see right now is the opening night roster?
Yeah, I think there's a decent chance, or maybe even like, maybe there's a small marginal move or training camp competition. I do think, and I have heard that they're going to be a little bit more exploratory in August and September, making calls around the league. Even though this is typically a time of the year where pretty much every roster is set, sometimes you see moves. But I don't expect any big picture, big fish type move out there. Cause again, they're not really interested in that Zach LaVine contract. I think Brandon Ingram is going to probably have to go back to New Orleans. His market has been really tepid. So maybe it's a smaller scale deal, or maybe it's just the 14 that they currently have with an eye towards the trade deadline potentially. And they're a little restricted trade-wise right now, even on smaller scale deals, because they are hard capped at the first apron, and they're only like $500,000 or so away from the first apron. So any trade they make, they have to take in less money than they give out. So that complicates some theoretical deals.
And in those theoretical deals, would it make sense for them to thin the roster a little bit? Because as I look at the names and the players, it seems like they have more players than they have rotational spots yet again, which might lead to the problems that Steve Kerr had last year with the rotation.
I mean, you don't thin it just to thin it. You don't just give guys away, give talent away because, you know, you don't want a competition at the shooting guard or whatever. I do think if there was a trade out there where you could trade 3-for-1 and suddenly get Steph Curry a legitimate number two scorer, you know, or get a Lauri Markkanen, sure, that does seem to make the most sense for this roster. It did last year. It will all the way up probably till the February trade deadline this year until they get that number two, number three. But, again, it's – you're almost a victim of your own depth in a sense, at least, you know, mid-tier depth where it's like, you know, you don't want to like just give Moses Moody away, just give somebody away like that. Unless it's, you know, you want to save those chips. And that's the other thing with these smaller scale deals I'm talking about. Like, you know, I wonder about, you know, you look at Brooklyn, you know, would a Dorian Finney-Smith be available? Would a Cam Johnson be available? Maybe, but do you want to use up some of, you know, your assets that maybe come January, there's a really bigger name available, and suddenly you don't have that because you used it to get Dorian Finney-Smith. So that's kind of all the stuff they're looking at.
Anthony, how do you think this all sits with Steph?
Well, I think right now he's got to focus on, you know, the quarters, or I guess the semis at this point. They smoked Brazil today. I think he will, knowing Steph and just how compartmentalized he can be with you know, within the profession, rational. I think he truly is like very focused on, you know, playing better right now in Paris than he has been and winning this gold medal, kind of completing that task. He's extension eligible this week, really only a 1-year thing. That's not a huge deal, but I do think once he gets back from Paris, you know, leading into camp, that will be a month for him to, you know, really kind of gather his thoughts on the future and moving forward. But he's made a 2-year commitment. I mean, I think they can come to camp even with his 14 believing they can win games and they can set themselves up in a position, get some growth from the young guys, play better, keep Draymond eligible the whole season, be in a good spot to maybe strike down the line, because they still do have some really appealing trade assets. And they have some potential growth candidates for, like, you're not entering the season if you're Steph believing, well, this is now, you know, a guaranteed lottery team. They're going to tank. So I think he'll take time.
Is Jonathan Kuminga still a trade asset, or are teams a little spooked at the possibility of what his next contract is going to be?
Well, it depends on who you talk to, right? Like, because the truth, you're going to have to pay him. I mean, he's enough of a talent. I think he's shown enough that, you know, just like Chicago, for example, right? You would have said Josh Giddey, you know, what kind of asset is he for Oklahoma City entering extension eligibility? Well, Chicago was like, yeah, we'd love to have Josh Giddey, and I assume they're going to pay Josh Giddey. You don't trade for a guy like Josh Giddey to then barter with him, take him to restricted free agency, and maybe lose him. So Kuminga's trade value is probably different to certain teams in certain points of their cycle and really just what their front offices think of Kuminga as a talent now and into the future. But also he's very desired internally by the Warriors and, you know, we'll probably be having discussions in September and October about, you know, his extension talks and how realistic it is for those to get done. But I guess your general point, I know we've talked about this, but, you know, a guy like Podziemski has 3 years of very cheap control. Kuminga, you got to make a decision on basically now. So that is what makes it a more complicated situation. But Jonathan Kuminga is still a young talent that there's plenty of teams and front offices around the league that would love to get their hands on.
Slates, I know the Warriors organization is used to Draymond saying what Draymond wants to say, but how do you think it sat with Steve Kerr that Draymond was so negative about his Olympics rotations on his podcast?
I think they're kind of numb to it. You know, it's just like, I don't think that it's been about a few off seasons since I think any of that just, you know, random podcast fodder gets to Steve. I mean, Steve deleted his Twitter account how many years ago now? Like 4 or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if he hasn't even heard about it. I think they have one request of Draymond Green at this point. Just play as, you know, do not get suspended next season.
No.
You know, don't, like, just be eligible, play. You're very good on the court. Just stay on the court. Lead, play great defense, be there for the team. If he wants to criticize Steve Kerr's rotations for Team USA, man, even if he probably wants to go on the podcast middle of next season and say, you know, Kuminga should be playing more, They're probably fine with that as long as he is starting at power forward on Thursday night against the Mavericks.
Fair enough. Anthony, great stuff. Good reporting on all this. We appreciate you jumping on today.
Yep. All right, fellas.
Okay, there he goes. Slates, The Athletic. No Lauri Markkanen. Although, poking around in August and September, he said more than teams usually would.
Yes, and the big specter, or the scepter, rather, of a Jonathan Kuminga extension, which could come in September, October. You remember the Jordan Poole one dropped in October, right before the start of the year. So that becomes, I think, the next thing that we will shift our attention to as we get into the dub season. And I do think the schedule should drop on the 15th. Traditionally, it happens in the second week of August, and you know, you can go online and they tell you when the schedule tends to come out. It's either Wednesday or Thursday of the second week of August, so that would be next week. So that's at least a little bit of excitement where, you know, how many national games, where are the Laker games, are you on Christmas, when's the home opener, the IST games, of course, which I know that you're all pumped up about. Huge. The in-season tournament.
Yeah, that'll be
your
big.
Nads are all pumped up. It really pumps your nads. I can tell already.
That was a lot. Yeah.
So, I mean, once the schedule's out, then we can turn our attention to camp.
I'll say this before we go back to the Brandon Ayuk phone calls. He echoes something that I have been told elsewhere. I think that this is what, if you're a Warrior fan, this is how you walk away from this offseason, if this is indeed it. The Warriors like to think big. They are thinking big. So if you want them to use any current assets to go make a Cam Johnson acquisition, as he said, a Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. The Warriors are saving their assets to go for big marks, not Markkanen anymore, big marks. And I mean big in two ways, tall and stars. Tall stars.
It'd be nice.
Not all stars.
Not a lot of them.
Tall stars.
Yep.
That's what the Warriors want. And that's what they're going to save their assets for. And those of you worried that Steph Curry is going to be like, you didn't make a move for me, I would bet that that's exactly what Steph wants to. Save your assets for when the Giannises or the whatevers of the world potentially become available. Because you don't know right now that they will, but someone will. And when they do, you better be ready.
Yeah.
And you better not be like, oh, gosh, we traded everybody for like a 3-and-D guy. I don't think that's the way the Warriors are thinking.
No, and you're also thinking that, okay, then perhaps you give Kuminga the extension, and that way that's a contract next offseason that you can use and you can weaponize like you did with Jordan Poole, or you get to this year's deadline and you have, at that point, hopefully, had a good first half from Andrew Wiggins, first Wiggins reference of the week.
Huge.
If you could get Wiggins to play like he has the potential of playing, and I know that's a big ask, it's about as big of an ask as hoping that Draymond doesn't get suspended. I don't know, what's more likely? Draymond survives a season without a suspension, or Andrew Wiggins plays like he's potentially capable of doing?
What's more likely?
Yes.
Draymond. The Draymond one.
Draymond doesn't get suspended?
Do a bet right now. Set the suspensions for Draymond at a half.
At a half?
I'll take the under.
Suspensions. Now,
suspensions. Not technical fouls.
Well,
suspensions.
If you do get 16 texts,
you get suspended.
That would count as a suspension.
I'll take the under.
Okay, I'll go
take
over.
No suspensions this year for Draymond Green.
Okay, I'll take the over on a half a suspension.
What's a bet?
We'll come up with a good thing.
I forgot, by the way, I landed in Hawaii and the lovely Christie's dad comes up to me. First thing, he goes, you won the bet. And I'm like, what bet? What bet are you talking about? He goes, the Giants won all four games against the Rockies. What'd you win? And I'm like,
tell him what you won, Bob. You didn't win a damn thing.
Stupid bets that we bet, and then we never said what we were betting on it. And so I didn't win Bupkis.
Nah, not a thing.
That was a pretty good prediction, though.
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you also,
he was excited for me.
You
even
lost the other bet.
What was the other bet?
Which was Snell and Conforto both would be gone.
Well, that wasn't a bet. That was just a prediction.
Well, the other one was a prediction, too. We didn't bet.
No, yeah, we bet. You did. You're like, I bet you that they will not win all four. And I'm like, yes, they will. What do you want to bet? And then we got distracted and never came back to it.
Yeah.
So we didn't do anything.
I think you still owe a box of donuts and babysitting. So Until you come correct.
I definitely owe babysitting. Do I owe a box of donuts?
I think you owe a box
of
donuts.
You're going to have to come up with why. You can't just say stuff like that.
I have no memory of anything.
Well, then I'm sorry that I'm off scot-free. All right, back to BA. Willard and Dibbs, 888-957-9570. The latest that we know or that we think we know. We are told that framework deals are in place with the Browns and the Patriots. We are told that Brandon Ayuk has not ruled out the Browns and the Patriots. We are told that the Pittsburgh Steelers are back, as of today, into negotiations with the 49ers. We are told by Kyle Shanahan that there is nothing new. He would still rather Brandon Ayuk is on the 49ers this year. We've been told that by Christian McCaffrey directly that he is referring to Brandon, maybe accidentally, as a former teammate. And we are also told by Mike Silver that basically what's driving this is that Kyle Shanahan is not, capital N-O-T, pleased that Brandon Ayuk has chosen to hold in. So in other words, not only am I mad at my contract, but I'm just going to hang out, sit here and talk to my teammates, maybe even come out on the field and get a bro hug.
I mean, the optics of this are hilarious. So he's in the locker room in his street clothes with his feet up, just popcorn. Guys, have a good practice out there playing video games, and he's just straight chilling.
Right, right. And Kyle is like, this is not okay.
And stuff. Yeah.
Get off my team and stuff.
Or get on my team.
Please. That would be even better.
Yes.
Get on the team. But he's not getting on the team. So we'll see where this goes. Jeff is calling from Rhode Island. Hi, Jeff. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, I'm in Patriot country, and everyone's all fired up out here thinking that, you know, Brandon's coming. And my thing is this has been ugly since right after the Super Bowl. You know, the whole social media with his boys and his girl, and the way it's nothing like how this was handled with Debo or Nick Bosa. This has gotten like so ugly, and it's been out there. It's like a soap opera at this point. And at this point, like, I'm frustrated with Brandon, the way he's handled it. I'm frustrated with the Niners because the Niners, I think, overplayed their hand thinking he was going to buckle. And now you're at the point, like you guys said, the timing is so bad.
Yep.
You're going to get, pennies on the dollar, but your best return is going to be Amari Cooper and a pick. So, I mean, are they forgetting that, like, we're in a window here to win it? There's nothing we can add at this point that's going to make you any better than having Brandon Ayuk on this team. And I guess my question is to you guys is, in the last few days, like the last visual I've seen is the bro hug on the field. So what went so bad in the last, 72 hours that now all of a sudden all of these offers that the 49ers are entertaining and all of this other stuff, and these are the best deals they can get because now it looks like they have no leverage when all I've heard the whole time was Brandon didn't have any leverage because they had him under the contract. And I'm wondering how you guys think this is all going to play out. And is it just a money grab for them? Because to go to a team like if the Patriots are going to pay you, just using them as the example.
I mean, yeah, Jeff. I'm not even ever going to call it a money grab. Brandon Ayuk wants to be paid commensurate with the other players who are at his level in the league. So Brandon hasn't done anything wrong there.
And you get what you can get.
Yeah, but now if you want to take shots at Brandon for being on TikTok or for saying I want to be traded, and then when the Niners trade him, he's like, no, I don't want to be traded there. You could take shots at him for doing that if you want. And we only know to a certain degree how true any of that is at this point. I will still maintain and scream from the mountaintops all day long. The Niners still have 100% of the leverage here. Brandon is not winning this by leverage. He's winning this, if you want to call it that. meaning, in other words, going to get himself traded if he is.
If that's what he wants.
Simply because Kyle Shanahan has reached the point of annoyance to where he believes the distraction is like a bigger negative than Brandon Ayuk's presence would be a positive. The 49ers still to this day, and I think a lot of people have gotten confused by this because they read online that, like, Brandon turned down a deal from the Browns. There is no deal from the Browns if the 49ers don't say there's a deal from the Browns. The Niners have every right now to just be like, Brandon, go play football. And if he says no, fine. Stay over there in the corner. That's it. Onward. By the way, it's funny.
If he doesn't want to go to the Browns, then there's no deal with the Browns because they could trade him to the Browns and he can.
But that's because the Browns won't do it. No team's going to acquire him without.
Unless he signs.
Correct.
Right.
But that's
so
not
if
Brandon.
He doesn't want to sign in Cleveland, then there's no deal with Cleveland.
Under contract is my whole point. The 49ers, and in fact, if it is bothering Kyle so much that Brandon is there hanging out, tell him to leave. I got kicked out of practice when I was in school. Get off my field.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't do that because this is adults. These are adults.
Exactly. And we don't even know where Brandon is at the facility.
No, but obviously at times he's out on the field. He was out on the field
blow hugging. Meetings and whatnot, yeah.
Yeah, and he's in meetings. But the point is the 49ers still have every right to do that. They won't. Because A, they're going to try to treat him and all their guys like adults. But B, for whatever reason, they've assessed this as now, this annoyance, this distraction or whatever is not what we want. Believe you me, if they truly thought in their heart of hearts that Brandon Ayuk was imperative to winning, this wouldn't be happening. So somewhere, no matter how much they love him, no matter how much we love him, no matter how much his numbers are great, somewhere deep in Kyle Shanahan's DNA, he feels he can win without him, or else he'd be signed.
Well, that's the arrogance of Kyle Shanahan.
And that's fair.
I love the arrogance of Kyle Shanahan, and if you want your head coach to have that level of arrogance, if you want to take that as a negative term, that's up to you to take that as a negative term. But he's very self-confident in the laminated play sheet and in the players that they have outside of Brandon Ayuk. So, yeah, you get to a point where at some point the scales tip and you realize that the distraction and the headache that maybe is being caused is not worth it, or maybe the deal is just so far from being done and Brandon Ayuk is going to make life miserable for the whole year, then you decide that you have to take a different course of action.
That's why this thing, in my opinion, is so, so unfortunate, because I don't think there's going to be much of a win here, and I think that both sides are going to end up suffering. I don't know so much in the long term, but in the short term, I feel strongly about that. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number, presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. It's Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.